And if you'll pardon me and bear with me, this cold seems to be hanging on. And it makes it difficult. I guarantee you, nobody wants to use this microphone here until it's been sanitized after I wear it. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 5 through 13 for our text this morning as we continue in our series through the book of Romans on Sunday mornings. This morning, I want to talk to you about the differences of the spirit life. The differences of the spirit life. In verse 5, the Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Again, I want to speak to you this morning on the differences of the spirit life. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd control what is said and done here in this hour. Father, and I pray that you'd give understanding and clarity of thought and mind as well to the truth of God's Word. And Lord, that we would not be quick to dismiss things that we may not want to hear, but Father, that we would be sensitive and yielded and surrendered to the will of God and truly examine our heart in light of the Scriptures, in light of the truth of God's Word. And I pray that you would accomplish your purpose, your will, every heart this morning, that you'd bring conviction where it's necessary. Father, that you'd bring comfort where it's needed. And Lord, I pray that in all that is done, most of all, that Jesus Christ would be exalted here. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8, as we said last week, marks a major shift in the teaching of the Apostle Paul as far as what his emphasis or his focus is. It all fits together perfectly, one step after another, but this chapter, Romans chapter 8, Paul introduces several aspects of how life is transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. And this chapter is really all about the new life of the Spirit in a believer. And just as salvation is not in the power of the flesh, he spent many chapters dealing with the fact that salvation cannot be earned. And we're all sinful people. We need God's righteousness, but we can't earn God's righteousness. And so our salvation is provided for us in Jesus Christ. And just like salvation is not in the power of the flesh, for the saved person, the Christian life is also not in the power of the flesh. It is provided for us through the Holy Spirit of God. And in the first four verses, Paul spoke about the deliverance of the spirit life, and we saw how there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're delivered from the wrath of God, and so on. He spoke about the deliverance of the spirit life, and now in these verses that we've read this morning, he writes about the differences of the spirit life. This chapter is very important, and maybe one of the most important passages of Scripture. They're all important, certainly, but this chapter is very important, and the reason for it is because it addresses the matter of the mind. The Bible is clear in its teaching that how a man thinks determines what manner of man he really is. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The mind is a very important thing. And we know this to be true, that whatever a person focuses their mind on is what is going to be produced in the life. You think on evil thoughts, it's going to produce evil actions in your life. We set our mind and our affections on things above, and we think on pure things, as Philippians teaches, and it's going to produce a different set of actions depending on what our mind is focused on. And that is why the Word of God is so very clear when it speaks about the change that is needed in the minds and the hearts of men. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, just turn over there quickly with me. Romans 12, excuse me. In verse 2, I want you to notice here, when the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If we were to read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the instruction is, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And the thought here is that the changes that the Holy Spirit of God produces on the inside and in the mind results in change on the outside in every area of life. And that is the focus of this passage. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning looking into these verses and considering the differences of the spirit life. First of all, in verses 5 through 8, we find the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. Let's read those verses again. In verses 5 through 8 of chapter 8, we see the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." We see the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind in these verses in here, and we're talking about the differences of the spirit life. The Spirit of God in the life makes a difference compared to the carnal mind. What are the differences? Well, the first that we see is in verse 5. We see that the desires are different between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." The first thing that Paul addresses here is the contrast that exists between the natural mind of man and the mind that's been transformed by the Spirit of God. And the whole idea here is that the natural bent, our natural bent and our natural state, our natural orientation, if you will, the desire of the heart of the natural man and his thinking is always directed towards the things that pertain to his flesh. In other words, the carnal mind, it focuses on the physical, on the material, other selfish concerns that please the flesh. The carnal mind at times may think about religion, but it'll be a religion that's based upon what he can do for himself. The carnal mind at times may think about God, but the thoughts of God would be how to approach God on his own terms. Generally speaking, however, the carnal mind is filled with thoughts and centered around ways to gratify the flesh. And that is certainly what the Bible teaches us about the lost man in his mind. If we were to take the time to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 10, you would find, and I'll quote it for you here, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." That doesn't mean physical, government, but it means they don't want to be governed. Those who walk after the flesh don't want to submit to authority. They despise government. Presumptuous are they? Self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Philippians 3:19 says, speaking of those who are in the flesh, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That is a picture, and in these contexts here, certainly teaching and talking about false teachers, But that is a picture of someone who is in the flesh. They walk after the lust of their own uncleanness. They don't want to submit to authority. They don't want to be governed. They're presumptuous. They're self-willed. Their God is their belly. They mind earthly things. That is the carnal mind. And the desires are different between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And I would say to you, that's a picture of the carnal mind, but what a change is manifested in the lives of those who've been redeemed and who have the Spirit of God, who live a spiritual life. As a saved person, you know, we falter from time to time, but our minds, as a saved individual, our thoughts are geared towards the heavenly things, toward the spiritual things. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we're people who would love the things of God, anything that pertains to Him, love His Word, love His people, love His house, love to worship God. The Spirit of God redirects and changes the mind and the thinking of those who are redeemed. The desires are all different. As an unsaved person, you desire that which pertains to the flesh, what pleases me. As a saved person, though, the Spirit of God redirects the mind and the thinking. And our desires are toward the things of God. A good question to ask ourselves at this point is, and ask yourself this morning, of what character are the thoughts that fill my mind? All right, we're here today on purpose, not to just let the Word of God and truth of God, but to make personal application. And ask yourself the question with all seriousness this morning, of what character are the thoughts that fill my mind? Is my bent toward that which is spiritual? To love God, to love His Word, to be obedient to His commands, or is it towards the material, the physical, the world, pleasure, self? Depending on how we answer that question, we can learn a lot about ourselves, because there's a great difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Not only is the desires different, but we find in verses 6 through 8 that the fruit is different. Look back there in Romans 8, verse 6. The fruit is different. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The fruit is different. What does the fleshly mindedness produce in a life? Well, verse 6 says it produces death. For to be carnally minded is death. In this verse, Paul's stating a clear fact that fleshly mindedness only produces death. But spiritual mindedness, man, it not only produces life, but it produces peace as well in the life. To be inclined one way or another, carnally or fleshly, actually becomes a genuine indicator of the state of the soul. No peace in your life? Maybe you live life in anxiety, fear, turmoil, anger, resentment, bitterness. Those are not fruit of the Spirit of God. To be inclined one way or another becomes an indicator of the state of the soul. Look over in Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 in verses 15 through 20 talks about a tree and its fruit. And by the fruit of the tree, you can tell what it is. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. It's pretty clear that a good tree is not going to bring forth evil fruit, and an evil fruit can or evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. What the fruit, the evidence of what it is the fruit that it produces. So, in other words, a life that's lived in fear, anxiety, anger, bitterness, turmoil, etc., etc., though that's fruit and an indicator of the soul, of the condition of the soul. Because our text says that those that are in the flesh or the carnal mind produces death, but the spiritual mind produces life, and not only life, but it brings about peace in the life. There's a difference. The fruit is different. Not only does the carnal or fleshly mind produce death, but it's an enemy of God. Go back to our text there. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Paul tells us that the carnal mind is really the enemy of God. Why is this true? Why is the carnal mind an enemy of God? Because the carnal mind desires to be God in their own life when God should have the rightful place in a person's life. The carnal mind is bent on the overthrow of God and is determined to keep self enthroned on the life of the unbeliever, of the carnal mind. And as a result of that, it refuses to walk in the will of God. In truth, the carnal mind is so filled with self that it cannot walk in the will of God. And that's what this verse says. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The lost carnal mind is totally opposed to everything having to do with God. That is a manifestation of the flesh. But then in verse 8, we find that it cannot please God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind and the carnal man is altogether apart from the spiritual principles of God's word. Therefore, it can't please God. And seeking to achieve righteousness through outward religious practices of the flesh, it's never going to please God. You can't be saved in the power of the flesh. You can't live a Christian life in the power of the flesh. The flesh can never please God. According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says it's impossible to please the Lord without exercising faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Interestingly enough, faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Spirit of God produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And I think it becomes evidence that the Spirit of God in residence in the life of the believer produces things that the flesh can never produce. The Holy Spirit, produces in man what the Holy Spirit produces in man cannot be duplicated by the flesh. And since the flesh can't produce that which is spiritual, it stands to reason that the flesh can't please the Lord. Now, considering what Paul has said here about the changes that happen in the mind of a person who is saved by grace, I would ask the question, how does your life look? What dominates your thoughts? What dominates your desires? What fruit is your life producing? Can you see evidence of a new and a changed life? We're talking about the differences of the spiritual life. Now consider, secondly, the results of a spiritual life. We see this difference really playing out between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind in verses 9 through 13. We saw what the carnal mind produces. It produces death. It's an enemy of God. It can't please God. The desires are not according to the Lord or toward the Lord. But what is the result of the spiritual life? Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. First of all, the results of the spiritual life in verse 9 is that there's a new resident. When there's a spiritual life and spiritual existence, there's a new resident that lives within. Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Paul's contrasting what he said regarding the carnal or fleshly mind and what it produces. It produces death, an enemy of God. It can't please God. And then he says, you aren't in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit dwells in you. There's a new resident. In other words, the only way for us not to be carnally minded is for us to possess the Holy Spirit of God. The last sentence of verse 9 is very interesting because he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It clearly states that if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God residing in you, you're not saved. Plain and simple. And this becomes, listen, the Spirit of God dwelling within becomes the true litmus test of the soul. There's a lot of people who say they're Christians. A lot of people say, oh, I love God. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. And they can maybe produce some good works in the eyes of men that, oh, man, they seem to be a pretty good person. They seem to really love the Lord. But that's the works that we produce is not the litmus test of the soul. That is not the thing that decides whether or not we're truly children of God. The litmus test of the soul is whether or not the Holy Spirit of God lives inside. A saved person has a new resident. That new resident is deity. And deity living within will produce a change in our existence. That's why we're counseled to put our faith to the test to be sure that we truly are children of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll read it for you. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? He said, it's possible. It's impossible. Don't you know? Examine, prove yourself. It's impossible to have deity living inside and not know it, because deity will produce a change in our existence. If you're saved, you possess the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit produces real change in a believer that is so vastly different from the carnal or fleshly man or mind. The key to pleasing the Lord is allowing that Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us to possess us. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When a new resident is inside, he's going to produce a change that is so vastly different from the carnal or fleshly mind And when that happens on the inside, there's a change that happens on the outside. And that's actually what Paul says in verses 10 through 13. When there's a new resident who produces a change on the inside, it's going to produce a change on the outside. And he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Here's a change in our members. The Spirit of God changes how we think. He changes how we're driven as we go through life, what motivates us. And these verses here that we've read go on to tell us that he changes then how we act as well. There are definite changes that happen on the inside, but those changes then make their way to the outside. And that's really the focus of these verses here, verses 10 and 11. These verses fit together to teach us that when the Spirit of God moves in to our life, he produces a change in the way that we act. In verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead by his power, he shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Anyone who claims Jesus Christ as his or her Savior and yet manifest no changes in the way that they live their life, probably not a saved person at all. And that's not to say that believers don't sin, because we do. However, if salvation is a reality in the life, there's going to be a new desire to honor the Lord in the way that we live our life. We're not going to do the same old things we used to do. We're not going to enjoy the same things we used to enjoy. We're going to be compelled to live in holiness because that's what's pleasing to the Lord. When Paul is teaching, what Paul is teaching us is the fact that the Spirit of God will make us to become vastly different than we were in our nature. Does that make sense to you? He teaches us that the Spirit of God will make us vastly different than what our nature is. The Holy Spirit will reproduce the life of the living Jesus Christ in the life of the saint. Look at verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. This verse serves to remind us that we're not obligated to live after the flesh any longer. In fact, we're dead to the flesh and alive to the Spirit of God. That's what he said in chapter 6. Go back to chapter 6. In verse 11. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Skip to verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Christ, we are to reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin, our flesh to be dead, but us to be alive unto God. And listen, there's a debt. Paul said in our text there, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. There's a debt, but it's a debt that we owe to Christ for the price that he paid to deliver us from the bondage of our sin. And I would simply say to you this morning, let us live for the Lord who suffered and died in our place. If the Spirit of God is living inside, we're going to be compelled to live unto holiness and unto righteousness and unto that which is pleasing unto the Lord, not to be carnally minded, to live after the flesh. Look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means to put to death, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Even though we're saved, we still have the potential to live after the flesh. That's why 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and we're not children of God, if that's true. In fact, let's go over there, because there's a great promise in 1 John to the saint of God. Because sometimes, even though we're saved, we still have the potential to live after the flesh. But what do we do? In 1 John 1, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. See, the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, or the natural man, the unsaved person and the saved person, is whenever there is sin that is present, the spiritual man, the spiritual mind, hey, they have a conviction over their sin and a burden over the fact that they have displeased the Lord, and they want to run to the Father and they want to confess it and forsake it and find forgiveness and restoration in that relationship. The unsaved person doesn't really care. They find pleasure in their sin. The carnal mind finds pleasure in its sin. That's why it produces death. A saved person is not going to suffer eternal judgment in the lake of fire because the Spirit of God dwells within. But a saved person can't continue on living in sin without feeling the chastening hand of the Lord. When the Spirit of God dwells within, our text teaches us, if you go back there to Romans 8, I'll finish up with this. Verse 13 says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It teaches us that we have the power through the Spirit of God living within to mortify or to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And when the Spirit of God lives within, the life of the saved person is going to be godly. And through the power of the Spirit of God, thereby being able to please the Lord. Let me conclude with this thought here. You know how they say the proof is in the pudding? You heard that saying? The proof of what it is in the pudding. A life that is touched and changed by Jesus Christ is a life that is brand new. It's a new kind of life because the Spirit of God lives within. There's going to be a change on the inside that produces a change on the outside. If there's no change in a person's life from when they said they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's no conversion, plain and simple. When Jesus Christ moves into a life, everything changes. And I would ask you the question this morning. I would imagine that everybody in this room says they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the Lord. And probably most everyone in the room would say that they're saved. But just because we say something doesn't mean it's true. What makes it true? Whether or not the Spirit of God lives inside, and whether or not there's been a change that's been produced in the life. Has your life changed since you professed Jesus Christ? Can we take an honest inventory of our life and truly say, yes, I've been changed. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I know that I'm different. I know that I'm not the same. I don't think like I used to think. I don't act like I used to act. I used to not want to love and honor God, but now I know that I do. Even though I'm not perfect, I know deep down I want to honor the Lord instead of honoring myself. There's a vast difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Only the Holy Spirit within can produce real change. Has your life changed? Are you born again? Do you truly know it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the simple truths of God's Word would ring loud and clear in our hearts and our minds. Anybody can say they are saved. Anybody can say they believe in God. But real salvation and conversion produces real change in the life. And if we still think the same, and if we still act the same, and desire to do the same things we used to do in our natural mind, there's no conversion. There's no Spirit of God living within. Lord, I pray that if that's true today, for some, that they have a profession of faith, but they've never seen and understood a real change of life. Lord, that they would bring themselves before you today in humility and surrender and admit, you know, maybe I don't have what I think I have, but I want it. And Lord, we ask that you would, through your Spirit, accomplish your will in each and every heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.